Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Shark's got the T-shirt on. The tats are on full display this morning. He's feeling very bullish. How are you, Shark?
How good, Matty. You paint an interesting picture. We're adding to the collection of tats, actually, in a few weeks.
I've got the single down the left wrist. It was so painful.
Come and get another one with
me? I don't know. I reckon it was on that most painful part of your body.
You've got to be careful.
Either that or I've got a low pain threshold. So,
well, Langscale's got a full back job. The big, the dragon, sort of Chinese style.
He's got them in places which aren't automatically visible.
Little known fact about the great man.
Yes, yeah. Knuckles. He's got the ones on the knuckles.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's gonna join the conversation shortly. Hey, couple of things I want to talk to you about. First of all, Chow Tao Kwa this morning. My take on it was, yep, good. Great relief and all that sort of stuff, but we're not out of the woods yet.
No, we're not. He still has to do it at an official trial, doesn't he? And then he's got to go to the races and do everything right as well. Great to see him do the right thing this morning. You just wonder what was in his head last time around to put him off as it did all those times.
It made for the best photo I've ever seen of him.
Oh, wasn't it brilliant? Yeah, the jockey's looking back around with the wry smiles going, oh, no.
He's good
for racing.
One of the things that's going to be trickier next time around, this is, and Rupert Lee, you know, he conceded this as well, is you're not always going to have the luxury of being the last into the gates
like he was this morning. Yeah, that's true. And from a punter's perspective, whether he goes through the trials again on the 23rd, I think it is, and does everything right, do you still, or do you take the view that, okay, he's back, I trust him now, and I'm willing to put my hard earned on?
Well, that's going to be the interest. Trent Langscale joins us. Trent, just to this fast tracking ahead to the Missile Stakes, in your experience of horses who, in the back of their mind, punters think, oh, do they tend to rally for them on reputation and think of it as a clean slate? Or is he now a champion who's always going to be good odds because you never really know, Chautauqua?
There might be a price, Matt, when it gets to a point, particularly on the day of the race, where the punters who have been very supportive of Chautauqua and probably have a fair bit in the kick due to him will probably eventually go, okay, he's had his troubles. Now I'll give him one more chance, because you don't want to be the one where you basically slap the forehead after the race and go, why didn't I just have something on him? Just something, because Takeover Target has done it in the past, Apache Cat. There have been times where they get written off and then all of a sudden they manage to get up and you think they're the ones where you're basically 10 minutes afterwards just kicking whatever rubbish is around on the ground at the racetrack.
Whack Craig Williams on him.
Why not?
I reckon when he hops off the broomstick, which he wins on, whack him on your
take. He could ride you and I and get us home over the line, Matty.
Visually awkward, what you just said. Just on Willow Shark, and I still remember this little anecdote that I often bring up about Craig Williams, where a mate of mine is a good punter, but he's also got that wild card element where he'll throw someone in for no good reason.
Yeah.
So he's mapped out his quaddie. We're going to the Sandbelt Hotel, it was. And
beautiful.
He, you know, when the guy marks the form, and there was like a number 16 in the third leg, and Willow was on it. It was about $26. And I said, and I've got to take the swear word out of this sentence. I said, why have you put that thing of Williams's in the third leg, the long shot? And he goes, you know why? Because Williams always me in quaddies.
Yeah,
it was just this thing, look, there's no form or anything, but I just can't, he's a jockey I can't leave out. And the form he's been in the last week, he almost changes the way you approach the form guide for Saturday, because there is such a strong Williams factor right through this week, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. We were sitting in our little office yesterday and said over to my mate, hey, Craig Williams has ridden two in a row. And he said, what's he on in the next? And sure enough, he had two more rides. We thought, let's just back him. So we both had our $20 on, and lo and behold, he gets both of them home, and that's it. Lunch is paid for. It's brilliant, but that's the sort of form he's in. What has he had, 12 or something winners since last Saturday? He's absolutely flying. But I love the sideline with Willow, the post-race, you know, thanking everyone in the dental clinic that when his teeth got done. And if you can get him on a horse that you own that loses, just buckle up. It's almost a little bonus prize for being beaten when Willow comes back on your horse, because some of the excuses or the reasons he gives for the horse getting beaten, it's just brilliant. You know, short of saying, oh, the stars didn't align for him and the moon was in Jupiter and he needs his Sagittarius, this horse, he needs a horse. He could just make up anything and you just sit there and smile. He just talks at you. It's unbelievable.
He's such a methodical thinker, too. There was he cancelled a story with, I think it was The Age. I was talking to one of The Age journos. because he said the house was a mess, and the journo had turned up anyway, and I think there was like a random twisties packet out of place or something. So Craig's got that sort of personality.
He's a character.
But I brought up the Berwick Dental Clinic story story I did for the Winning Post today. But the one thing that gets me about Willow too is, for some reason, maybe not after the last week, but there's always been an element of the hard sell. Like, you know, when we all sit around in pubs and say, oh, who are the best jockeys? And you go, Sydney, oh, it's obviously Bowman, McAvoy, McDonald. Melbourne, you go, oh, well, Ollie's still there. And, you know, Lane and Ben Mellum and Luke Curry, mate, Mark Zara. For some reason, whether it's the quirks of his personalities or the idea that you can sometimes get willowed, that he'll put in a howler, that for some reason he's not as high up automatically on best jockey lists as a lot of those other jockeys, but his record's got streets ahead of most of them. So,
and maybe that's got a bit to do with the, you know, historically, as he's been emerging and going through the ranks, he's always said that he was never the most naturally gifted jockey. And so have people that have worked with him and trainers he's ridden for, you know, that everyone kind of admits that he's worked so hard on the other areas of his craft, like the form and the attention to detail about his presentation and his pre and post race. Like, he's so fastidious about every other element, and he's worked so hard to develop the skill set that he does have, which, you know, it's a pretty bloody good skill set.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe that sticks in the back of people's minds that, okay, he's not an Ollie, he's not a natural sort of horseman. But I'll tell you what, he's winning a lot of premierships. Oh. He's winning a lot of races.
France, Dubai, Japan, Australia, wherever else, Europe, Group 1 winners. And that spring in 2011, Southern Speed, Caulfield Cup, never went around a horse. Pinker Cox Plate a week later. And then he got the suspension and Christoph someone or other rode Dunedin, which he was... So anyway, look, I reckon Willow's a megastar, and I think after the last week, he's going to suddenly be front of mind when people talk about the best jockeys in Australia in recent times.
Who would be his odd couple partner? If he's the, you know, the Mellum, neat and tidy... Mellum?
Mellum.
Walker?
Walker. Any other jockey other than Craig. Mellum's the one that springs. So I can't see them going out for a night on the tear and having common interests.
No. Right. No. Benny Thompson and Craig Williams around a dinner table would be interesting.
Mm. All right. Now, speaking of Ben Thompson, he's got a mount in the first, a debutante. And speaking of Craig Williams, he's got a debutante mount in the first at Caulfield on Saturday as well. Trent and All the Money, not surprisingly, is for Willow.
Yes, just once again, Ronan's Rock, who opened $6 on Wednesday, is now the outright favourite at $3.50. Brutal, also given respect, a $4.20 second elect. Hummer Hummer at $5.50. And the other in single figures is La Parva, who has eased from $6 to $8.50. But there's plenty of money for Ronan's Rock.
Benny Thompson's about to join us, Shark. He's he kind of rides one, leads one in life, you know. He's family background, of course, with the Greyhounds.
Uh-huh.
Big success for the Thompson family last night, I think it was. Yeah. Benny joins us. How are you, Benny?
Good, Matt. How are you?
Are you allowed to bet in a different code?
I am, but I marked myself as being unlucky, so I don't back mum and dad's at all, and it seems to be working, so it's great for them to get a feature win last night.
Jason and Shona, of course, and the horse, the dog, was out of range in the McKenna Memorial, and prize money's great these days. It must have been a big thrill for the family. I know your dad's very successful at it, but that's a big race and a big winner last night.
Yeah, it is, and he's been a great dog. He's won two Group 1s and added a Group 2 to it as well. He was not one of the fancied runners. I guess Tornado Tears dominated the market, but good to cause somewhat of an upset and another great night for the family, mum and dad and the team.
Well, Benny, knocking over Tornado Tears is no mean feat, but what about the opening race at Caulfield tomorrow? There's a couple of these debutantes
just
have been
on
heavily
on a sec,
backed.
Just on Tornado Tears.
Oh, you love your dogs. You
Tornado
want to get
Tears,
your dogs.
Isn't Tornado Tears the one they're saying is the best
ever?
Yeah,
it's a freak.
It's the Winx, isn't it, Tornado Tears?
Well, that's what it's getting marked at, and its record's pretty hard to fold at the minute, but it was a bit unlucky last night, and which worked to my parents' favour, and so he's going to be an exciting dog to follow, that's for sure.
Can you cause an upset with these two heavily touted first starters, Brutal and Ronan's Rock? You're on Gwent. What is Gwent? Odd name for a horse.
Yeah, she's a filly by Schwassi. I trialled her 3 weeks ago at Caulfield for John Maloney. She just had more a fitness trial that day, and she ticked all the boxes, and she trialled the following week and put herself on the speed and finished the trial in front. So she's done everything right. Obviously, she's in in the deep end of their first outing. She's in her own backyard, which would be some help, but obviously Hayes Galloper, Owners Rock was to trial really well, and be a good guy just to really see where she's at against them.
But she went well at the trials.
Oh, no.
I was pleased with her, yeah. So yeah, she had to speak to the Maloney's to get any more info, but I was happy with it from what I've seen.
Hey, I've got a tweet about the perfect pairing with the one we missed.
Yeah.
Kello and Willow.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Benny, we're talking about Willow's quirky personality.
Yep.
You know, how he's very fastidious and he does all his homework and he thanks everyone all the time. We're trying to think of who would be the odd couple going out for a night on the town partner for Willow. Would Callow be the odd couple?
I think without a doubt. they're polar opposites, but both are very good at what they do.
Hey, just a quick one on Willow's streak. It's unprecedented. I can't remember anything like it. Is it hard going out, riding against a guy who's just in such good form?
Well, it's obviously... You go there with plenty of confidence, but when he's getting the results that he is, you hate sort of saying his name, you just expect him to win, but he's, what is it, 3 days of riding and 13 winners. It's unbelievable, really, and nine at metro level, but he's a star and very, very good at his craft. He works as hard, if not harder than anyone, and obviously deserves all the success he gets.
Benny, two of your better rides tomorrow are for Kenny Keys, who's also been in really good winning form. He's got Al Passem in race 8. You're aboard that. And also one of Maddie's favourite drinks, Gley Var, in race 2. You won on it last time. You got good chances there?
Yeah, I think so. I've got a lot of time for Gley Var, and I guess the whole stable has, really. She won well first up at Geelong on a synthetic, and obviously looks to be against weaker company than she's facing tomorrow. But she... We don't have the kindest of draws, but she has speed. She's won two of her last three, and I think she comes in well in the minimum tomorrow. It'd be a good guide to see where she's at, and I think she's a nice filly going forward, and we'll probably get further than the 1200 in time.
El Passam was tough, wasn't it? I mean, he was a well-tipped roughie in the race, but strong on pace and just kept sticking his head out.
He was. He was brilliant. He overcome the wide draw. He had to use Bird Pentrel early, and to his credit, and the stables jumping from 1,000 metres to 1,400, he was very, very good. He takes on a similar field tomorrow. We obviously have a corner draw jumping from barrier 2, and I think to take on that opposition and with the corner draw to go up 2 kilos is probably not the worst penalty in the world. As I said, he takes on similar runners. He gives Streak Chic 7 kilos tomorrow. He finished just on my girth, but I think third up and second go at the 1400 this time, he's going to be ready to go, and I really look forward to sitting on him again.
Couple of roughies by the grace. It's a weak race set. I don't know where he's at in life, though, by the grace. Fanciful Toff for Kieran Maher, Master Reset, big odds. Any of those roughies got a hope?
I thought By the Grace was great third up 2 weeks ago. He jumps from the 1400 to 17. He drops down to the minimum of 54 kilos. He drew poorly that day and settled close to the ring field, and he picked his way through and only beaten 2.5 lengths. I thought he was pretty good. I thought that I'd naturally be a little bit closer from barrier 6 and up to 1700 metres tomorrow. He's going well on his fourth run in. Master Reese said he struggled against good opposition last time, and it's a tough task again for him. And Fanciful Toff, he's had 4 starts, 2 wins in a second, and he hasn't done much wrong from his 4 outings. So he's in his backyard, and that's a big jump from a Mildura 64, but benchmark 64. But he puts himself on the pace, so the wide draw shouldn't be too big of a concern. And he's doing everything right in a promising stage going forward.
Kieran Maher's a bit like Darren Weir. He's one of those put him in everything trainers, so you never know. Good on you, Benny. Well done, and say well done to your mum and dad for last night as well on our behalf.
Will do. Thanks a lot, guys.
Benny Thompson there. Trent, what odds is his mount in the second here?
The second there, looking for...
What have you been looking at while we've been talking?
I was just looking at different bits and pieces. I was looking
at whom?
No, I was looking at Gwent. Apparently, Gwent is some type of card game.
Right.
Right, okay.
Not the fact that it hasn't registered on my radar suggests it... I was just might not be worth looking into.
Yeah, well, I thought it might have been something like solitaire, but it looks a lot more complicated, so I'll have left that one well alone. Glover is a $21 chance in race two.
I know you're a popular figure, but...
solitaire, it's a lonely man's game.
All right.
$21 for Glover in the second.
Righto, give us the market around it.
Well, those that are at the top of the market, you've got Joseph E&C at $5. Magnesium Rose has tightened from 8 into 5.50. Soul Star with C. Williams aboard at 6, and a couple others in the market, Atlantica at 6.50 and Miss Norway 7. A bit more complicated the second.
What are we doing here, Shark?
Well, after Ronan's Rock wins the first, I think we'll be confident enough to follow Willow in here. I think Soul Star could be the one that's that gets the job done.
They're
this
all coming. A lot of them are coming through the same race, and it is the most hard luck of that group out of that same race.
It's like half the field come through that race, and it's sort of like a common thread throughout this whole meeting. 2 weeks ago, there were some very similar races run to this week, and most of the horses are backing up into it. So the form lines, you can trust them. I think it looks a pretty good punting card overall. Yeah, Soul Star was just busting for a run from about the 600. The run never came, and she went to the line virtually held up from, I'd say, around the 500-metre mark, and Willow was never able to get her into top gear. She was only beaten
Willowed. It was Willowed on that occasion.
Yeah, possibly. The way, at this time of year, when there's not a lot between a field and you get a big field like that, you don't need much to go wrong to find yourself in an awkward spot. And that's unfortunately just what happened to Soul Star last time. You can still get each way odds about her at the moment, although I heard Langer say she has been backed. So, look, I'd be keen to bet her in this race at each way price. I think she's a nice way to get going at the early part of the card.
Trent, do punters tend to bet less in races where a lot of them have come through the same form race and there was a bunch and a few hard luck stories? Does it make it difficult for punters to work it out next time?
Yes, the punters, compared to the first, and some of those we haven't seen, a few of them are debuting, and all of a sudden we've got this really bright support for Ronan's Rock, and you come to the second where it was that blanket finish that often gets talked about with form analysts, and they go, well, you could run the race 6 to 8 times and have different winners, and generally the punters, they're going to be watchful. You're probably going to see something in the last 15 to 20 minutes, but once again, Matt, if it's the second of the day, so you might not get too much of a track pattern or some sort of feel about how Caulfield is playing, but perhaps that's one where about 10 to 15 we might get a bit firmer lead.
Now, similar type of balking from punters, I reckon, in races where it's full of horses that either met their mark or have a listen to this for a cast of champions on Piccolo, Zabrins, another Coldie, By the Grace, Divine Mr. Artie. I was going to say Ribeye, but he's actually flying. Portion Control. So that's why we've got a warm favourite in Mantastic, because he's the only one with any upside.
Well, there you go. That's another reason where we're looking at those that they've seen what most of them have done. They go, well, you will see this up-and-comer and see what Mantastic can do, and has been backed from $4 into a $2.30 favourite, one of the best supported on the card, including about a 5,000 at $2.80, another Coldie at $4.60, Guizzo at $5, and then $10 or better the rest.
Well, is it the one with the big arrow, Shark?
I think so, Matty. Mantastic, he's 2 runs in Australia. His sectionals are suggesting that he's at least listed class. Now, there's quite a few horses in this race that have sort of been tried at listed and Group 3 level when they've been going well at the peaks of their career. Majority of them are well past that these days. Quite a few of them haven't won in a season or so. These races are cherry ripe for these horses on the up, and I think 1,700 now from a, it's not a great draw, 10, but I think it gives Yendall a bit of room to move with this horse. He does have a great finish. As long as he's midfield or just off coming to the 600, I think he'll be too strong. Ribeye and Guizzo are the only other two I can see sort of testing him. If something was to go wrong with Mantastic or he didn't get the best of runs, Ribeye's flying, as you said, and Guizzo should have won last time, just couldn't get out at all, lost all momentum and was finishing all over the back of Cements over the last 200. So Mantastic's the top pick. I'll be playing trifectas with Guizzo and Ribeye as the place getters and hoping to get a result. I think the early part of the card, I think we can trust the form and we can sort of work around or work with some of these better back runners.
I'm trying to work out you know, this in-between distance of 1700, whether there's something in the race that just flies at 1700?
Yeah, not particularly.
Well, the only one that's got, you know, maybe, is Portion Control, who's had four goes at the trip for one win and 1 second. So the rest aren't even effective at the trip to try and make a case. So tricky little race, but when we're going to take a break, and then we're going to go through another couple, then we're going to get you to reflect on your early quad thoughts, and then we'll get into the big stuff with the real quaddy races 6 and 7, 8 and 9, including the Monash. It's 25 past 9.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
28 minutes past 9. I reckon there's a bit of a lean patch in the Caulfield meeting. I think it's an overall good meeting, but races 2, 3 and 4 are the ones where I'm going to be a non-participant, and race 4 is just one of those ones where, unless the Waller Raider from Sydney's got a lap on him with my man Malamon, I just don't know where to go here. And there's emergencies that need to find their way into the field too, Trent. So it's a bit of a conundrum, the fourth.
This is another example we've gone through a bit today about in regards to jockeys and how they're going, perhaps trainers like Weir. And this is a situation where when you have emergencies that are at the top of the market, that the punters just want to make sure they get the final field through tomorrow morning. They know who's running, and then there's a bit more confidence. Because you have the Avenger, who's the $3.70 favourite, but Demolition, who's the third emergency, is at $3.80. You have Dane Thunder and Mr. Individual at $6.50, and then Netherfield, who's the second emergency, at $8. So whenever there's emergencies that are right in the market, the punters, once again, they just want to wait and see. They'll get to 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Bit of a tweet correction. Four horses have indeed raced over the 1700 China Plate. Yep, that's fine. I was just talking about the ones that have good records over the distance. Little clip there to the tweeter.
Well, sometimes we get them, sometimes they get them.
Hey, Shark, what do you do far out when there's no, you know, we don't know whether the emergencies are in and they're going to sort of be big players? Are you just, is this just a holding brief, this race?
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty ugly, yuck race, you know, either way, isn't it, really? There's not a lot of speed here. The obvious leader is Ballet Master, and it's not in the field yet, so... It's not a race that I think we need to be too involved in from an early perspective. If Demolition gets a run, it will win, most likely, because it arguably should have won its last two. It's got into some awkward positions and has flashed home late when it's finally got clear and the race is over. So with more luck tomorrow, he should be the victor, but he's got to get into the field first.
Yeah, I saw Ethan Brown with Brent Zarafa on .com. Today or yesterday, and talking about Mr. Individual, and he was giving him a good rap, but he's a nightmare, Mr. Individual.
He's very close, that horse. The blinkers will go on next time, and I think you'll see a much improved effort from the horse next time.
What do we know? The wild card's the Sydney visitor, the Avenger. Have you got any take on him?
Gets back, runs on. Again, speed's going to be potentially an issue for that horse. It just looks like a muddling tempo, and it just confuses the matter even more. Demolition's got the turn of foot to overcome a slow pace. Not many of the others do. For that reason, I'm just going to wait till scratchings tomorrow and see what the field actually looks like.
He's trained by James Cummings, Demolition, and we're going to try and have a chat to him tomorrow. What I think I've noticed in the last few weeks is I wonder whether they've distributed a better squad to Melbourne than previously. There seem to be more numbers and better horses down
there. Horses like Malaise,
Demolition,
like that. They're probably genuine off-season Saturday class horses, and they're running really well. Maybe they're spreading the army a little bit more.
Well, because I wonder in a bigger picture sense whether, because I always felt that it was too big a job for the one trainer with the horses under the one basket, whether to help James out and to help the balance of the operation, whether they maybe do boost the Melbourne stable a bit more and have it as a bit of not an even split, but a little bit less 80-20 and maybe a bit more 60-40 or 75, whatever.
Yeah, and also might be a factor that, you know, you get a couple of, you know, the lesser lights down to Melbourne that can put a few wins together and really get the momentum rolling into the early part of the carnival down here as well. So you've got, you know, Royal Blue winners winning in Melbourne and Sydney and life's good.
Another tweet regarding Tataqua, a little bit of an anti-Tataqua.
Oh.
A lot of focus on a jump out for a horse who hasn't won for over a year and hasn't got near them his last four runs. Very, very good horse, but no champion. Jason from Ocean Grove.
Fair enough, Jase.
He's an in-betweener now.
He is an in-betweiner. Yep. Good show, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Very good. You can't watch it with your kids, though.
No, you can't. Well, not until they're at a certain age.
Race 5, a couple of earlies here. Belwazi's out, number 4, Mystified number 10, and Embrace MBC Lille number 11. So we've got those out already. Trent, what do we make of this? Is over 1,200 metres, race 5?
There was an adjustment with those scratchings there, Matt, but Rolito is one of the shortest price favourites of the day. Opened $2.25, got into even money, and then the scratchings altered the price. Is currently $1.70, but outside of that, there hasn't been too much interest. Divine Quality, $6.50. Life on the Wire, $7.50. And then Mamzelle Tess at $9.50. But this could be one where, even though Sharky's not a big early quaddy player, this could be an anchor for the last leg.
Jimmy C, who we've just been talking about, James Cummings, we're talking about winter class horses he's got down here. This might be one Sharky could jump out of this grade.
Yeah, she's stakes class. She's got the turn of a horse, turn of foot of a horse that is, you know, listed to Group 3 quality at the very least. I love the plan. You see it often at this time of year. Back end of the season, you'll get a mare that's progressive, wins a couple of races, they're freshened up, they bob up in a Cockerham Stakes, they go whap. It's just it's a winning formula over a number of years, certainly during my lifetime anyway, and I think Rolito will be continuing that in the next month or so. She should be winning tomorrow, up a little bit in the weights, but there's nothing in this race that has the turn of foot that she's got. If Craig has her within striking distance of the leaders by the 400, she should run past them again. It's as simple as that. Divine Quality back to her own sex is a decent rival. She should, you know, give her a little test. And Modern Wonders, the other horse, first start for Weir. Ugh. She is talented. She's had some issues over her career. Corson's team did a great job with her to get the wins out of her, I think she was a stakes winner very early as a two-year-old. She's half done the job, but if she can add to it in the next month or so with some more black type, her new owners, Kiora Stud, would be very happy.
Off the back of Nature Strip improving lengths in a matter of weeks to Weir, say if Modern Wonder bolts in and then the answer, my friend, who'd been hopeless in the transition, say he comes out and bolts in, it's going to be impossible to not send every horse to Darren Weir because you can't go with him. You cannot go with him.
I think the basis point is your horse has to have ability to start with going to Weir. I've been involved in a couple that have moved stables and gone there, but they haven't been overly endowed with talent to begin with, and he can only do so much. These sort of horses, Modern Wonder, The Answer My Friend, Nature Strip, they've already got ability and they've performed at stakes level, so you know you've got a good base to begin with. It's just a matter of whether he can, you know, reinvigorate them and get them back to their best form. If Modern Wonder comes out and runs very well, I still think Rolito's the better horse if she runs to her recent form, if that makes sense.
Trent, is there any specking at all for anything like on a spec on Modern Wonder or the Tassie Life on the Wire first up crack here? Is there anything specced at all to beat Rolito, or is it just Rolito?
It's Rolito. It's 75%. Life on the Wire has the second most support, and currently it's $7.50. And then, well, the rest of them bar Divine Quality. In terms of the take, Matt, they're in double figures. There actually hasn't been. There's only three horses that have had more than $100 placed on them for the win. And, yeah, Modern Wonder is one of those. 15 the win, 320 the place. So if there's something there that's Sharky's mentioned, there's $15 there.
Outside of the Weir factor with Modern Wonder, Life on the Wire, with its winning record, Barrier 1, an in-form apprentice in Lockie King, gets in with less weight than Rolito for a better performed horse. I wonder whether, if there is a little upset here, it might come from the toppy.
Yeah, she goes well fresh. I think she's probably better at 1,400 metres rather than 1,200, and she can sit up on speed and sustain an effort, but Rolito's got that zippy turn of foot that none of these horses have got.
Scotty Brunton's going to join us on Trainer Talk tomorrow morning to give us an insight into Life on the Wire.
He's bringing a few over lately, I've noticed, Scotty. Yeah. He must have a bit of a move, but he seems to have had four or five nominated that have got good winning records.
I just think he's got good. He's never going to leave that beach down near the airport in Hobart.
Satellite stable, perhaps.
Yeah.
Journey.
But they do travel well.
That's Trinder.
Yeah. All right, race 6. This is on face value, it's a big start to the quaddy. Big field looks tricky, other than we've got a DK Weir favourite. Trent, it's either Mount Kilcoy or it's open, I think.
Well, the top two dominate. You've got Mount Kilcoy, who's been $3 into $2.80, and Mascolino's been $3.50 into $3.10. Like Ali, one of those that has not been well favoured, or that Craig Williams will be riding tomorrow, 8 out to $9.50. And then you're getting to Under Oath 11, Hell Crimson 13, and it's $16 or better the remainder. The top two dominate the betting here, Mount Kilcoy and Mascolino.
Kieran Maher's got Fanciful Toff. How's this for a little news snippet that's just come through? This is interesting. Caulfield trainer Kieran Maher is undergoing surgery this morning for a suspected broken femur after champion mare Jamaica threw him at Trackword at Caulfield on Friday. This is a report from Andrew Eddy on racing.com. Maher's assistant trainer David Eustace confirmed Maher had been taken to hospital via ambulance after an incident around 4 a.m. Eustace explained Maher was aboard Jamaica trotting the exercise area when she ripped around and threw him heavily to the ground. He said Jamaica was caught immediately after the incident and sustained no injuries. Best of luck to Kieran on that one, but it doesn't sound mega serious. I thought Jamaica...
Seems that Jamaica's in good form, though.
I had no idea Jamaica was in race training.
Yes, she is. Mm. Yeah, to continue on. Full of life, it seems.
Well, good luck to Kieran there with that injury. So that's, interesting little snippet there. Sorry, Trent, get back to the market here.
Top two, Mount Kilcoy and Mascolino, they dominate the betting in Legale. Once again, just one of those for Craig Williams that hasn't been met with support tomorrow.
So, Shark, is this a race that when you first glance at it looks a tricky first leg because it's a big field, but when you narrow it back, maybe there are only two that jump out?
That is exactly right. I think there's three. One, three, and five will be my numbers in the first leg of the quaddie. Yeah, look, Mount Kilcoy, he's the obvious, isn't he? Off that 7-day break, he looks like from his last two runs that he's screaming for 2,000 metres. Just whether he handles that backup, because he's gone 10 days and, between his run prior to the last week and that run, then 7 days into this. So he's had a bit of racing lately. Nice horse, lightly raced, unexposed, you know, always hard to beat, and Weir from a good barrier with Ben Allen, you know, it's a winning recipe. He's the obvious. Mascolino, there's been nothing wrong with his two wins, so I think he's possibly being underestimated, and you know, some conversation around that, oh, Mount Kilcoy just turns up and wins. Well, Mascolino's been pretty dominant at this level, and the horse of sort of warming to with Willow in the saddle is Legale, number five. He's probably the most raw of the three. Mount Kilcoy and Mascolino do most things right in their runs, whereas Legale's still looking around and he's hitting the front and sort of stopping almost as he did at Sandown last time. Williams needed to really give him a shove along to go and win that race once he loomed up and took the lead so easily. I'm just thinking this fellow might be open to more improvement, and the gap between him and the two favourites might not be as large talent-wise as the market suggests.
Which one?
Legale, number five.
You got a firm view on this? Because I'm just about to throw something at you from Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Can you have a firmish view?
Go on, give me
Fair
Twitter.
Income Shark, stop sitting on the fence. Aren't you paid to have a go? Michael from Brisbane.
Michael from Brisbane, thanks for listening. I would have thought I'd be paid for my, you know, just general well-being and what I bring to the show.
Exactly.
You know, conversational tattoos, which you can't see. Don't really work on radio.
Tats and chats.
Yeah, I thought I'm pretty firm when I said Rolito will win the last and Ronan's Rock will win the first and Solstar would probably win the second. Michael, anyway, enjoy your breakfast.
If Michael's correct, we can change this because Jamie Mott's about to join us and he's a man with a firm view.
Oh, he is.
Motty, can you help us out here? Shark sitting on the fence. We need to lift here. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
You well?
Yeah, good.
You're in spectacular form. I was just looking at the... we're talking about Willow all morning, and then we're looking at the overalls for Victoria, and you're ahead of him on the Victorian list at the moment. And mid-career, you've struck an unbelievable purple patch at the moment.
Yeah, things are going really good. Small part of time, mate. Yeah.
Sorry, mate, you sort of drifted in and out then.
Things are going great at the moment. Yeah, can't complain.
Any particular reason, or is just everything's just happening and commitment and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, working hard, and my main stable, John McArdle, he's having a great run, so definitely helps when the Zoe ride for us in great form.
You always look lean, but you look like you got your weight under control, and it's always been a bit of a trick for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I've really got it under control at the moment, which is good. And riding 58 today and haven't even had to have a sweat, so that's very unusual for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that make... I know a lot of jockeys over the years who really did it hard. I mean, Simon Marshall used to run around in plastic garbage bags in the middle of summer to lose weight and heaters up full blast. The fact that you got your weight under control, is that having an automatic effect on your riding record?
Well, definitely. I've
obviously
got more energy, and just
1 second, mate.
Sorry.
105 winners for the season, Shark. Linda Meach, 122. Damien Lane, 120.
Sorry, mate. My car broke down yesterday. I'm sorry on a car.
The Mercedes broke down, did it?
Yeah, Yeah.
All right. So this is one of the reasons you're physically better off at the moment.
Yeah, very fit and weight's good, and got a beautiful wife and little boy at home, so they're great supporters of mine.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, so Shark's going to ask you about today and have a quick glance at tomorrow's rides.
Yeah, no problem.
Jamie, Hummer Mama, talk to me about this filly for Johnny McArdle, as you said, going well together at the moment. She was just utterly dominant, I thought, at Hillside, and she's already stakes placed. You'd think she's, you know, at least the equal of anything in this field, probably a touch better?
Yeah, look, she's a filly I've got a lot of time for, and I liked her turn of foot late the other day. It was really impressive, and there's a few wraps on a few horses in this race, so I suppose we don't know. They're on race, so we don't know where they measure up yet, but my filly is definitely on the up.
And you can't really worry about, you know, what other people are saying about horses that none of us have seen at the races or under race day pressure, because that's got to give you more confidence in your horse. And as you said, does everything right and it's won its last time.
Yeah, well, you know, having the race experience is definitely an advantage. And she's had two starts and they've both been really good. So when she won the other day, there was wraps on Darren Weir and David Hayes' horse like they were champions. So. They don't always get it right.
Blondie in the second and then Ashlaw, but is Blondie's going okay, but no killer punch?
She ran really good the other day. I think she'll roll along on speed, and if she has a good time, she'll be there for a long way. She may be a little outclassed, but I think she's starting to hit a little bit of form.
Was that a nice sense of accomplishment with Ashlaw the other day with the 63 kilos? It hadn't happened for years and years in town. Was it nice to prove the doubters wrong about what Ashlaw could achieve that day?
Yeah, definitely. I think it had been 10 years or something. So these days, most of the time, if they do get a weight like that, they automatically just claim off them. So, I was wrapped when Dan let me ride him, and even happier when we're able to get the job done.
Less weight, but trickier task tomorrow.
Yeah, it's up a race. They're quality horses, and he's very fit and very well at the moment, and drops a lot of weight, which will definitely help him. So he'll definitely get his chance in the race, and let's hope he can measure up.
To the Royal Geelong Synthetic today, have you got one for us?
I've got one for Darren Weir in the first called Northset. He's knocking on the door to win his maiden. I think he should be very hard to beat.
At the $1.60.
I don't think that's short, mate.
What is it, Trent?
$3.30. The second favourite behind four koalas.
Yeah, the newspaper trimmed
you,
him up.
Little clip.
Thanks,
there for
Motti.
You
I'm good
from
to see Motti's well aware of the prices his horses are too. good on you, mate. Ride safe today, and well done. You know, we know how hard you've done it over the years, but your commitment's been unbelievable. Everyone's wrapped for the way things are going for you. So, mate, long may it continue.
Thank you very much. Hopefully, have a good weekend.
Good on you, Motti. Well, Shark and Motti. Well, we'll get the prices first on the Monash. He's in the mix, Ashlaw. But Trent, what's the go here?
This is where Jukebox, the best supported runner for the day, $4 into $3.10, including one bet of $5,000 at $3.90. Voodoo Lad, the only other that's had some sort of support, $5 in the $4.40. But then most of the others, they've gone out. Crystal Dreamer, $4 to $4.60. Ashlaw, $5.50 to $6. Innkeeper, $5.50 to $7, and even Deucimus, $8 to $9.50. They only want one, Matt, and that's Jukebox.
To me, Shark, it reads as though Jukebox has shown every sign of the stable that he's carried on from where he left off as a two-year-old, and he might just be the class runner here.
Look, he might be, but he's still got to do it.
I agree with you.
Voodoo
I'm with
Lad
you.
Is a multiple Group 1 place getter that is a Group 3 winner track. And actually, look at his track and distance form. Four starts at Caulfield for three wins in a second, four starts at 1100 for four wins. And we're all going off about the three-year-old first up off a good jump out that, you know, seems to always get everyone warm and hot under the collar. Oh, it's jumped out well. Well, you know what? The best race he's won so far is a Group 3.
Yep. And you know when those you know, the
in restricted age. Beat Plutocracy. Where's that horse?
Yeah, and you know when the sexy ones win is when there's no pressure first up. But
that's
here
it.
We've got Sunday Escape.
That's
but
it.
This is high speed. It, just factor the speed map into your niggle with Jukebox here.
I'm not saying Jukebox can't win the race. No, he can win the race.
The bloke from Brisbane was right.
But the overreaction that we get with horses like Jukebox, I'm not saying Jukebox, all the Jukebox, Pot and Jukebox.
Sound like you are.
Yeah, well, probably am. Yeah, it's remarkable, but it happens year in, year out. And I'd rather back Voodoo Lad in this race. I think Voodoo Lad can win if he turns up in his best form. I think he'll win the race. Jukebox will be hard to beat, as will Ashlaw. But for mine, at the market, at the price as it stands, as Langers delivers it from his little tower over in the corner, I'd rather back Voodoo Lad than Jukebox.
You're not a Crystal Dreamer, man?
Nope. Not good enough.
Well, not sitting on the fence there. Yeah? All right, and Ashlaw's going to be testing because he's so fit and he's such a...
I love him. Just he's the one that's the race fit horse. Coming out through lesser grades, you think, oh, wait for age, Ashlaw, come on. But he's race fit and he's winning races. He's got speed. He can sit handy at the speed. You can see Moddy asking him around the corner to pinch that little break to make those two favourites work to chase him, see if they're good enough or fit enough to pick him up. I think they're the three for sure and certain.
Just a quick look, there's Picket Fences, Innkeeper and Showpiro. You're saying not good enough?
Showpiro's a handy horse. I think she's probably better at 1,000 metres. And Innkeeper, look at his form card, you know, sting out. He's an absolute gun, unbeaten on wet tracks.
It's not
wet this weekend.
Doesn't get wet at Caulfield. All right, so that's the Monash. So you're very much a Voodoo man?
Yeah, 1, 4, and 6 for the quaddy.
What odds is Voodoo Lad, Trent?
$4.40, second favourite.
That's a brilliant price for a horse with Group 1 form right throughout his prep and genuine excuses at his last two back to a small field.
At his playground.
Yes.
Yep. All right, I'm kind of with you there. It's 11 to 10. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the card at Caulfield.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
7 down 2 to go at Caulfield. The second last, the eighth, is over 1,400 metres. No scratchings that I can see. This looks like an open field, Trent.
It is, Matt. You have Street Cheek, who is the $4.20 favourite. Al Passon, one of the better supported, 8.50 into 6. A couple at 6.50 in Usain Bowler and Reserve Street. And Snitzerpeg has also had a bit of backing, 11 into 7.50.
Yeah, Shark. The Weir spotters are spotting Snitzerpeg as one that might leap out of the ground fourth up from a good barrier. Are you in that corner?
Oh, he might. I thought I'd see a little bit more improvement from him last time behind Al Passon. And he was okay. It was a similar run to his start.
He didn't have to go around a horse, did he?
No, he was just on the inside. He didn't exactly savage the line. I thought Al Passon 1,000 to 1,400 last time was very, very good. So, we were on him last time at a much bigger price than he is this week, but I see no reason to get off despite the little weight hike. He's fitter. He'll be on speed. We know he's tough. He's got group form references, as you know, earlier in his three-year-old career, and you're getting a good price, 650 or thereabouts. Streets of Avalon is the roughie, I think, at the wrong price, building towards a really good run at this distance. Last time he was very wide in that Al Passon race and kept finding the line. I think he's been forgotten about.
So is his jockey, Dwayne Dunn.
Like, yes,
I mean, he's
has
a champion
been.
Jockey and all this stuff, and he's still riding lots of winners, but he just, a bit like the Craig Williams, doesn't get mentioned in the top echelon type thing. For some reason, he's not automatically front of centre. Maybe a bit like Williams, part of the furniture for so long that these guys tend to be taken for granted.
Yeah, he does. Look, maybe he's had a little hiatus or something. I haven't noticed his name around as much as it has been of late. But look, it's a time of year that the best guys get rolling and start warming up towards the spring, isn't it? So this might be... this might be Dunny's little moment on a good price winner to put him back in the spotlight. I thought the quaddy leg from that perspective, throwing in a few here, 1, 2, 3, 9, 13, and 15 if it gets a run at 120-1.
Oh, gee. Well, what? All right, we'll go back over those numbers in a sec as well. The last, I think Chamois Road's running in Sydney, Benjamin. Yep. So Paddy Payne's run up Chamois Road, not running here. Paddy's still got Widgie Turf. This is over 1,400 metres. The favourite appears to be... I always smile to myself when I say... Because it sounds like you're...
Buffalona.
Buffalona. Buffalona the favourite, Trent?
$3.50
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it is, but it sounds like
Buffalona.
I know, but it sounds
I can't
like
remember it. Exactly for sure, and I know we're pressed for time. I believe an emperor at one stage of Catalonia had a lisp and couldn't say Barcelona. Out. That's why it's out. Actually Buffalona.
Really?
Due to a lisp. $3.50
When you're playing solitaire, I don't know if you're being serious or not. No, he's also Googling weird world facts while he's playing solitaire.
I'm not 100% sure exactly.
I believe there is something like that.
Lilydale Steve
anyway,
got similar private time with the butterflies in his basement and so on. He's with Gwent. It's the Witcher card game that is free-to-play digital collectible card game for Xbox and PlayStation. So that's Croydon Steve there because he moved from Lilydale. And he's now got to tend to his butterflies. So.
Okay.
Yeah, stick in the solitaire and you know. Barcelona, $3.50. The answer, my friend, $4.20. They have both been supported. And then you've got Malays and Widgie Turf at $5 and $5.50 respectively.
Righto, Shark.
I'm sticking with the classier horses here, Matty. The answer, my friend, if Weir's worked his magic with this horse, as he has done Nature Strip in similar ownership in the last week, a few weeks or so, I think he can win. He's a group class horse. This is not a group class race. Similarly, Widgie Turf, I think he's a group class horse. Just erring to class in this race. Barcelona is in good form and will be hard to beat, but I think... the top two that I mentioned there, 1 and 3, may have him covered.
What about there's a certain jockey in this race who's having a little bit of a streak at the moment called C. Williams on Malays?
Yeah,
even if you don't like Malays, do you like C. Williams?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely goes in that quaddie. Unlucky at Moonee Valley, Caulfield last time, maybe a little flat second up, jumping 6 kilos. He's back down to the minimum. Williams on, good gate. Yeah, he's in my quaddie.
Right. Okay. Speaking of which.
Would you like it?
Oh, not that fussed, but some of our listeners
might.
Yeah,
well, they might. They'll probably abuse me if I don't give it, although...
You've turned on Michael from Brisbane.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, why not? You've got to turn on somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. You got to nuke... What was the old Nelson Munns thing? Got to nuke something.
Yeah.
1, 3, 5, first leg. 1, 4, 6, second. 1, 2, 3, 9, 13, 15 in the third. 1, 3, 12 in the last. Best. Well, take your pick from Rolito, Mantastic or Soul Star.
Good on you, Shark.
Good on you, Matty.
All right. And Trent, is there anything else from you? Any best backed anywhere in the world stuff?
Aside from Jukebox, we'll say that in the odd-numbered races, that's where the main support is tomorrow. Ronan's Rock in the first, Mantastic in the third, Rolito in the fifth, and Jukebox in the seventh. And once again, Craig Williams' winners tomorrow. Two or more, $1.80. Three or more, $4.60. Four or more, $18. Sharky probably doesn't mind the three-plus because he likes Ronan's Rock in the first. And he also... doesn't mind Rolito in the fifth and Soul Star in the second.
Terrific. Good on you, Trent. I'll be back on Monday at 8:30. I'll also be back with the panel tomorrow morning from 7. I'll be back with also with the verdict on Monday with Danny Power and Ben Dorries. And Shark, you'll join the boys in a good horse tomorrow. And then on Monday from 11 on Winners with a look back at the Caulfield meeting.
Certainly will.
It's been a big week on Racing Pulse. Thanks, guys. Here's what you may have missed.